Welcome to Dream It, Dare It, Do It, Live the Life You Want. This is Jasmine, your host, as usual. And I'm happy today. There's a beautiful sun outside. Spring is coming, and there's no more snow on the ground. And so I'm happy about that. And so today the episode is going to be a little bit different because you guys are used to hearing me speak to all these older people who know the three principles and, you know, have a lot to say about it. And today I have a person that's slightly younger and he's got a beautiful story, and I wanted to meet him because his life is totally different from mine, and yet he has the same understanding that I do. And therefore, I wanted you guys to meet him. And so here he is. Hi, Leonce.
Yes, hello. Nice to be here.
So Leonce is in Uganda right now. And yeah. So we're so lucky because we're living in this world where, you know, even if I'm in Canada and Leonce is in Uganda, we get to talk and we get to be able to chat. And so before we move on, I want you, Leonce, to explain to people or tell people a little bit about you, like where you live and what you do.
Yeah, sure. Yes, hello everyone. This is Leonce Bakenga. That's my name actually. Really a pleasure me getting here in this broadcasting with my dear madam Jasmine. Sure. I will just start by telling you a little short story about myself. Actually, a Congolese by nationality, and currently I'm a refugee. Living in Uganda, Nike Valley refugee camp. And I came in Congo since 2017. And in Congo, I was a young guy who had got my family together, and we live happily and a lot of dreams in my head, which one day I thought I'm going to be a doctor. And when I was in my home country, I thought a lot of things. I thought about helping my family, doing something for my country, you know, a lot of things as a young guy. And that time around, I've been studying, been doing a lot of things. So it was a happy life, as you all know, when you're all together as the family. It's something exciting and very nice. But unfortunately, I can say, always I say, unexpectedly, something broke up in our country, and it was a war. And this was led by the rebels, which wanted to take over the province on where I lived in, which is the province of Bukavu. It is located on the western of Congo. And when I was there, at our home place where we lived, it's where the rebels used to come and pick some provisions, some food from our village, which they wanted to use so that they can eat and fight back to the government. Then actually, it was something which for us as civils, we wasn't concerned about. And for us, we didn't know what actually was been going on. But some of the time, they could just come and break in our village and really discriminate people, hit us seriously, and take just food away from us. With no reason for us, we didn't know actually what had been going on. So we were the victims. So then it reached the time when the government wanted to chase them away, wanted actually to remove them from the country. And the rebels was already in our village, it's where I was been living. So when the government came in and wanted to fight back to the rebels, so our place, our village where I actually lived with my family became the battlefield where the war was been leading. So for us, we had nowhere, and the rebels now wanted to hide in us civils. They wanted just to be like us, so that the government, they cannot find them. So pretending like to be civils, but we are the one which has been facing the damages because we've been killed, been discriminated. So we had no choice. And my family, we said we couldn't be all that situation. We said we have to get running so that we can save our lives. And I ran because we lived, it was an extended family. I got to live with my auntie. I got to live with some siblings too, but my auntie and other family members, really, they remained. Actually, if you ask me where they are right now, I cannot really explain. I just got to run with just me, my dad, my mom, one of my uncles, with my four brothers, and one of the two siblings from my auntie. So we ran, and actually, while running, my dad lost like that. He lost just in an ambush, unexpectedly. We got lost with him, and one of my brother also got lost also. Then we couldn't stop from there because we had no choice again going back, searching for them, looking for them. No, we said we just have to bounce forward and look for where we can be safely and stay. But due to the run, first of all, my mom was sick that time around. She was just from producing our last born. So she was still in those pain of producing a baby. So while running, she got a lot of injuries, and unexpectedly we fall in the trap of the rebels. While following, we don't know where we are running. We just running, and we fall in the camp where rebels were preparing themselves to fight. So we directly fall inside their arms, and we couldn't save ourselves. We just surrendered ourselves. So, oh my goodness, it was unexpected. And they had nothing to do with us. They just really hit us seriously, and they could be asking, where are you going? Why are you running? And or maybe you are spies, you're coming to look for us. What are actually we doing? We tried to defend ourselves, but no one could understand us. And for that time around, we were still kids for us. But my mom and my uncle, which we were still with, they're the one which faced they actually had hit. They really faced a lot of challenges over there. And my mom got some rapes over there for the rebels, so it was something which it wasn't really okay. So due to those all the things which have been happening, my mom got paralyzed, and she got a lot of damages. She got her backbone, which is found in the back. It got some hits, and it got paralyzed. Her both leg couldn't move. So we had no way. When we found just a way to escape, I can say, I don't know how even we were from there. Actually, I was like, I don't know what I was in. So I was like, oh my God, I just got stuck. I don't know, just freezing, like it's cold, like it's not hot. I don't know, something like that. But we just found that we proceeded running, and my uncle took my mom on his back, and we were running, and we ran in our home country, which is on August 2020, 2016. And we arrived in a Kivalo refugee camp, which was already in it was we ran more than a year because we arrived in Uganda. It was in 2017. It was in October. So we ran something like 1 year and a month, because we passed in Tanzania. Then after reaching in Tanzania, actually we first settled there, and we got some good Samaritans which took us over, and they gave us some food, and we stayed there for some months. Then they actually said, we can't take you for so long because we don't know you actually where you're coming from. But one thing which can help you, if you just take this road, you are going to find yourself in a Kivalo refugee camp, which the camp which is located in Uganda. And maybe when you reach there, you can be refugees, and UNHCR can take care of you, because actually we can't take care of you for so long and forever. Then we understood because we knew that they were just good Samaritans. We didn't know each other.
So,
Yeah, so.
from the moment that your family decided to leave the Congo to Uganda, it's like a year and 1 month. Took you a
Yeah,
year.
sure. Yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah. Because we first settled in Tanzania for some months, then we proceeded our way to Uganda. Then after those are good Samaritans to say, no, you have to go, we take our way again. We started just passing over, and we found ourselves in a Kivalo refugee camp, which is now in 2017. It's when we reached in a Kivalo refugee camp. So it have been now something like 8 years I'm here in a Kivalo refugee camp as a refugee. And when arriving here, everything changed. Living as a refugee is not very easy, and we got to face a lot of things, a lot of struggles, a lot of problems. And it was something like there were no food. no food access, no education access. So a lot of basic needs, we didn't get any basic needs, you know. Actually, if I say we didn't get a lot of things, I will be like, I'm trying to be selfish. So I'm just trying to say basic needs, because they're actually the things which we really needed as human beings. So, and when I mean basic needs, there were no food, there were no clean water, even get affording clothes, the clothes we came from, putting on from our from Congo, which where we arrived into the Good Samaritans, and they just provided just each a t-shirt, just it's what we got. So it was something really, we got perplexed, a lot of things, you know. Then we said, okay, fine, we just have to settle. We got some sheets and we built a sheet house. We just tried to, we got a sheet and we rounded it on the place where they gave us, you know. Here at Kivalo, we got some lands for refugees. Then we started staying there. I got my family, I got my young brothers, my mom and my uncle there. And that time around, unfortunately, my mom was sick, you know. She faced a lot of things over there, so she was paralyzed, and accessing medicines for her, it was something quite a challenge, you know. Then we just said, oh, then I was somehow, my goodness, this really the tough time. I couldn't imagine, you know. I had a lot of dreams, and I said, oh my gosh, so all is now nothing today here.
So it was difficult right now at that point for you in your mind. It was like everything's over.
Yeah, actually, I can say I was hopeless.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure what I'm going to do next, because, oh my goodness, I'm done. So
yeah.
I didn't feel that I could overcome that time with my family, because actually some of the time I could sit and see my family, how it's really struggling, even accessing even one time meal per day, which was something a challenge. We had to go and start doing some jobs, laying blocks. Then we got to sell blocks. You find that we lay some 500 and plus blocks. They just provided something like 10,000 Uganda shillings, which it is in the value of $2. Then when we get that, we have to live for that. So, and it wasn't easy laying blocks, you know, something laying blocks for us Ugandans, which are them, and buy it for us. So it was something really stressing me. Actually, that took some time. It took something like 3 years for me to get used of Nakivalo refugee camp. Then after 3 years, I started taking now some rounds in Nakivalo refugee camp to really understand what was the situation. And I just wanted to make some survey on Nakivalo refugee camp, maybe if I could find a land where we could be farming. Then the time I took the round in Nakivalo refugee camp, I came to realize that it wasn't just my family which was struggling or facing the challenges, but a lot of families, a lot of people were getting a lot of challenge, just the same as us, and some of them, they got a lot of things more than us. So so it's not me and my family which we are in the toughest season of our life, but a lot of family out here also suffering. I got to experience a lot of things, like children were abused. I got to explain that even that a lot of children were abandoned due to the missing of food, you know. That you find that you, when running, they run a lot of a family of a where there is a lot of children. Then when a mom reaches here, he found no husband, no one to take care for the children, no food. So no, I just have to abandon my children, and he just go away. So it's not for his own sanity. He just found no way out, no way to do. Yeah, so we got a lot of street children, and those children, they just stand there in the road begging for food, begging for meal, for Ugandans, now the nationals of the country. So, and due to that, it led to a lot of antisocial behaviors, actually, because we got a lot of early pregnancies for the teen moms. We got a lot of teen moms over here because children started associating in antisocial behaviors, which it was drunk consumptions and sex businesses. So it was something like really tough and very hard. Then I got to experience that a lot of lambs, we got a lot of disabled people here, people who survived from bombs, nuclear bombs. So a lot of things have been happening, really. I was, oh my God. I just went back home and sat just down and started imagining, thinking actually of what I saw during my day. I said, oh my goodness, so better me, I got some education from my country, better my family, we can even work as the family together, we get some meal even just once a day. But actually,
you saw that even if you had it rough, you were lucky compared to other people. That's what you saw for yourself.
Yeah, sure. I got to say that. Not just because I'm suffering, just everyone. Because for me, what I was actually thinking is that I was suffering and we were like, we abandoned by the world. That's actually what I saw, like the world of my family. But when I actually came to see others suffering, passing through the hard times also, I said, oh my goodness, this really tough, you know. So then it took some time. I started thinking and I said, oh my goodness, this really tough. Then I started joining some centers which they were been teaching English and teaching entrepreneurship. So when I got to join the club, I started learning and learning, and I got some knowledge about entrepreneurship. And I started one day thinking on actually what I could do. And it was something I wanted to do a business. I wanted maybe to start working hard and get some cash where I could do a business. But actually, when I saw others also passing the hard times, then I say, if maybe I can work for my own and satisfy my family's need, but others really need someone like me. Maybe I can just, you know, I came to realize that it doesn't mean that you have to get a lot of money, millions of dollars, so that you can help others. No, it's just the golden heart, you know. You just have to volunteer for anything you can, you know, a small kind of act which you can do to someone, it can really change his life totally. So I said, you know, I got some education, I can write my name, I know alphabet, I know numbers, you know. Then I said, but out there, street children are there, they can't even read their names, they can't even write anything, they got to don't know even 1 + 1 = what. So I said, oh my goodness, maybe I could just even volunteer myself on some of the small kind of acts which I could be doing. It could help and change some lives here in a Kiva refugee camp. Then I saw I couldn't do it myself, so I had to call up some young leaders, youth also, friends. So I wanted to get some people who could share the same vision with me, who could actually do the same, who could feel the same thing I really felt that time. And I got some people joining me, and that time we saw we had nothing actually which we could be doing. But if you remember the story, we got some sheets which we builded our house when we arrived here. And when I started laying bricks with my family, we got some bricks and built a bricks house. Then the sheets remained. I got those sheets, and I said to my group members, you know, I got these sheets, and these sheets have been with them since I came here in a Kifa refugee camp. Maybe we can get a land where we can be raised this sheet just so that it can just protect us from bad weathers, and be just collecting, bringing together the street children under these sheets, and we can be providing with some education, just not much, but actually just small education where we can just, and it was for the end, maybe we can be taking their time for them to not get that time going round out there, start associating antisocial behaviors. And we agreed on that because actually that's what we was able to do at that time. And we took a process. We got a land where we could put those sheets, and we start calling all children, collecting children who was rounding on the streets, don't know where to go. So we've been collecting them under the sheets. I got some posts which I've been posting on my Facebook about all that. Then some of the time we took time teaching them alphabet, numbers with my team, with my group, which we really volunteered for that. Then until when we came to realize that some of the children started escaping from the place, you find we got some children, but after a while we found that children are starting reducing. They are no longer coming in the places. Yeah, then we said, oh, why? Why is this? Then we came to realize that children was escaping because they really needed food, not education, because they was passing and being street children because they didn't have any food and they was just begging for food. So when you just come, you know, a child learning, even though you say ABC 100 times, he cannot just catch it because he's hungry, you know, he's just thinking about the meal. So a lot of children started escaping, not coming again in our places. Then we found them again in the street, back again there in the streets begging for food. Then we said, actually, so the food is really the real problem which we got here. So what are we going to do? We had no money which we could be providing meal for them. We didn't have any cash with us. So we actually got a friend who also was coming from Kenya, and he got some knowledge about permaculture and agroecology farming. So he presented to us, he said, you know, actually, guys, we cannot feed all the community and we don't have money to buy food so that you can be feeding them. But maybe we can start a farming project where we can be farming some vegetables, maize, beans, and different plants. Then maybe when we get some harvest, we can be providing the meal to the children with the harvest we got. And we can share also the knowledge of farming to the community members, some families, so that even at a small place of land, which they can get and afford, they just farm, even they be just affording some little veggies for this family. We got to see, oh, this really important because that's what we really needed. And we got a land where we said we are going to do the community garden, where we were farming, leading some trainings about permaculture, about agroecology, and providing people with some knowledge and skills which they could be farming and getting some meal for their families.
So they can do it themselves.
Yeah, so they can do it themselves. And that time around, the real challenge was seeds. We didn't have any seed, but we got some seed for maize and beans and amaranth that time. And we started with that. And actually, when we harvest, we made some seed banking. So when we teach a family, we provide also a family with some small seeds. And so when you harvest, make sure you save some seeds also for the next farming. So actually, that's what doing, yeah, that's what we've been doing, and providing education. We couldn't stop also our process of providing education. As long as we afforded that, we could be giving the children some meal, we said let's proceed. And also with education, we got also some women empowerment projects, which we've been distributing some soaps to the teen moms and collecting them together, teaching them about business, teaching them about English, so that they can sustain themselves. We got some of the women, which they came from their mother country, they know some hand skills, they can hairdress, they can sew. So we get to collect them and we tell them, if you know that skill, you better share it with others, so others also can be going in nationals, Ugandans, and maybe hairdress Ugandans and get some few shillings, which it can help the family. So we got a lot of volunteers with different knowledge and skills, which joined my organization. And we started doing different activities just at the aim, empowering and brands back. But actually, we did everything we had to do. And we couldn't see the smile to the people, the real smile, which I wanted. So actually, yeah, some of the times when they had the food, they could smile, but tomorrow when it comes, they are again, you find, oh, poor me, I didn't get food. Then actually, I think, oh my God, what can I do so that maybe these people can be happy? The same to me, I was perplexed. I had a lot of things in my head, so I couldn't take even a second laughing, enjoying, feeling some good energy inside me. So it was really tough and something really hard. So until when I came to meet Harry Dubisky, he's my three principles trainer.
Okay, hold on. So how long has it been now that you're doing this before you meet Harry? How long has it been since you've been doing this?
Actually, it was 3 years now.
So you were doing it, you were already doing it for 3 years, and then you meet Harry Dubisky. So for those of you who don't know Harry, I'm going to put a link right about here. I don't know where. We're going to put it somewhere on the screen or maybe in the description. But it's an episode from Harry Dubisky with Rob Cook on the podcast, We're Listening. And Harry learned directly from Sydney Banks this understanding of the three principles, which now Leonce is going to continue when he met Harry. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So just like I used to get some of the pictures of the activities I've been doing and post them on Facebook, trying to contact some different places so that they could join us and help us. Mm-hmm. And I met Harry like that. I met him on Facebook and I messaged him and he replied to me. I presented to him the situation which has been going with us in a Kivalo refugee camp and different projects which we've been doing. Then he said, you know, Leon, say, I can't really help you with money to do all that, but I got something which is three principles. And hopefully if you guys know something about this, it would help you, because he asked me before, actually, why are you doing all this? I said, I want to bring smiles back. I want to see people smiling. I want to see people have hope, live the life they really deserve to live. So he said, actually, if you want people to smile, you want people to be positive, you want people to get some good energy, that's actually what I needed. I didn't just want to see people, oh, poor me, I got to lose my family, oh, poor me, I got to be lame because of the nuclear bombs, oh my God, I'm hopeless. I didn't want those poor me on people every day, every time. I just wanted to change. I wanted just to see the community where refugees are empowered, they're smiling, they got some happiness, creating just a better world. Then Harry said, I got something which it can really help you reach your dreams and your visions. And then I said, actually, what is it? Then he said, Leonce, do you smile? Do you laugh? I said, of course, some of the times, but it's been a while since I really smiled and really feel like I'm smiling. So something like that. And he said, you know, I will try to present you the three principles, which is the understanding of the mind, consciousness, and thoughts. And this is going to help you understand the use of your mind, your consciousness, and your thoughts, what you're always thinking. And I can really prove to you that all what you're facing, all those challenges that you are not smiling, you can't really feel some good energy, all those are caused by your negative thinking, which you got in you. Then I said, how did I get some negativities in me? But I'm fine. I said, I'm fine. I'm trying to do my best. He said, no, actually, you're not fine, because if you got a lot of things, you're perplexed, you're like, poor me also, you're thinking about your mom, she got to be paralyzed, you're thinking about your project which you're doing, and you're not seeing what you really want, so you got a lot of thinking in you, and you are not seeing a way how you can do that, so you are stressed, you got a lot of negativities inside your mind, so as long as you're keeping focusing and thinking on negativities, you can never really feel the good energy, and you can never really feel to smile, the actual smile. Then I said, now, yes, of course, I'm like that. I had to admit it, you know. I had to admit it. Yeah, I said, yes, of course, I'm that, you know. I'm actually having a lot of things in my head, and I don't know, I can't figure out the way what I can actually do. Then he said, take a second, take your breath down, then think, actually, release some of the negativities. When some negativities come in your mind, just let it go. Let it go. Just, it's very easier. He got to give me an example. He got to give me the wonderful story. I will never forget that story. He got me a story of a fish and a man. And he said, once upon the time, there was a fish and a man. And that time around, the man didn't have a toilet. So he used to go to the lake and poop inside the lake. And the fish was also inside the water. Then some of the time, the fish didn't have food. Then the man went come up there the lake, he poops in the lake, then the poops coming down, then the fish also, when he sees the poops coming down, he said, oh my God, that must be food. Then the fish could be swimming very rapidly and going to eat the poop. Then when it gets inside his mouth, oh my goodness, this poop, the fish the fish goes, oh, this is not actually what I needed. And the fish gets a lot of anger, stressful. He said, I really needed food, but not poops. This is really bad. The fish go. The next day, the man came again and he pooped again in the lake. The fish also couldn't realize that's again poop. He rushed again. Said, oh my God, it's poop again. So it came that he started stressing the poop, the fish. Then actually it reached the time when the fish started seeing the poop is coming and said, oh, that must be again poop. That must be poop. I have to let it go. I don't have to eat again poop. So when the fish let it go, it just fall down away. The fish couldn't get stressed because nothing could harm it. And really he didn't get any bad energy. So he said, also you have to learn how to know that this is really poop coming in my life. This is negative. Just let it go. Push it away. When you see positive, you remain positive. He said, actually, I know that your situation is tough, and I'm not meaning that you have to get better directly, but actually, as you are keeping focusing on stresses, you will never get to be in a mood which you will actually feel happy. You try to be removing some stresses. Actually, if you're always getting 100 stresses per day, try to be reducing. Today, you might reduce to 5. I said, I know today this stress, I don't want this stress. Just let it go. Tomorrow you'll reduce the other five. Tomorrow you'll reduce the other five and you'll actually reach a time when you find, oh, I'm remaining now with 35 stresses only. And the time will not be the same as the time you had 100 stresses. So actually that's what I want you to be. Then I was somehow amazed and I came to realize that happiness was free. Happiness was free. I didn't have to pay money. I didn't have to do what so that I could get happiness. Just I could just feel it. When I feel it and I free from stresses, I free from negativities, I got some energy, some good positive energy, and I smile. I don't have to pay for it. I don't have to do it. Then I said, Harry, you know, this really unexpectedly training. I never really know. It was a cheap trick, which I never got to realize that happiness was free. And it was just inside me. I had just to laugh when I feel to laugh. Then I said, Harry, this is extraordinary. But I told Harry, I got a lot of bad experiences and a lot of things have been happening. And actually, that's what is always stressing me. Then he said, Iragi, you can't learn how to forgive others, to forget, unless you know how to forgive yourself, unless you got to know that your happiness is inside you and it is what is leading you to not be happy. It is your bad and negative thinking. He got me an example and said, if I take the white paint brush and I paint on the blackboard the white color, what color will you see? I said, I will see white. Of course, I will see white if you paint white. Then I said, okay, if I take now the black ink and I paint it again, what color will you see? Said, I will see black as long as you painted black, of course. Then he said, the same is life. If you keep on painting black, negativities, always stresses, you will be seeing stresses. You'll keep on seeing black. But if you keep painting white, 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 actually it will reach a time when you just be seeing white only. So you have to learn how to free yourself from stresses. And it was, oh my goodness, you know, it was like, I didn't just know, that time around, I didn't knew anything about three principles. And I was really curious to know. And I said, Harry, I want to know more. I said, I want really to know more. And Harry said, of course, I'm here to help you, leading you through some trainings. And I got some trainings with Harry 1 year, learning from Harry and Seiden Banks, which Harry told me he was the founder of the three principles. And he learned from Seiden Banks directly. So he got to send me some links, going to the YouTube channel, listening to the talks of the Seiden Banks, trying to read some books, trying to listen from Harry. When I got some challenge, I go to Harry. So Harry was my first mentor who presented me the three principles. And I got to learn the three principles from him for 1 year. Then after a year, I said, Harry, I can't really remain with all this inside myself. I want to go out now in my community and present this now to all the Nakivale refugee camp. And I believe through the power and the positivity of the three principles, because I already experienced it, of course. So I knew this is really going to help others. And Harry said, I'm here to support you in all the trainings you'll be doing. Actually, when you need me, I'll be coming in. And I said, I'm starting with the children because I believe that the children are good in sharing love and good positivity. So I said, I'm starting with children. Children don't care. Children smiles. Children don't keep anger. Children don't keep stresses. So when they are good, they just laugh and smile. They really smile. So I said, I'm starting with children because children can really also spread the message rapidly and finally in the community. So I got the same sheets I use for education and raised them again up in the project now at the end of the three principles. I got to collect all those three children, different children from different families, different communities, because we got a lot of children over here in Akiva Refugee Camp. You know, Akiva Refugee Camp is the eighth largest camp in the world, and we got 130,000 refugees living here. So I got some children, and at my first training, I got some 106 children, which joined my class of the three principles. And I can't really testify how good and amazing that was. I got to see children smiling. I got to see children, you know, if you just try, try to visit my Facebook, you'll get to see those posts are posted. We are shouting happiness is free, very excited, nicely. And after 1 week leading the training with the children, I got the first testimony, which I'll never forget in all the career. I'll be spreading the knowledge of three principles. I'll never forget that testimony. One child, it was a girl. She was something like 6 years old. She came to me. She said, teacher, because by that time around, I was already a teacher, you know. teacher, actually, I want to tell you something which happened to me yesterday. I said, really, tell me. I said, yesterday at night, we didn't eat and we couldn't afford a meal then. When I was from the training here at evening, I went back home and I found my mom. She was in the room just looking up and she wasn't fine. And I found her crying. Then I asked, mom, why are you crying? The teacher said, we do not have to be crying. I said, why are you crying? She said, no, I'm not crying. I'm just fine. But I saw that she was crying, but she just pretended actually because she didn't want me to feel bad. Then my mom said, you know what? I'm just not good because we don't have any food to eat today. So I'm really trying to think what I'm going to do. Just one thing I told my mom when she said that I'm trying to think on what to do. I said, mom, just let it go. Just let it go.
Yeah.
So that's the one thing I told my mom, just let it go. If it's negative, if you're not finding a way out, just let it go, mommy. Because the teacher said when we found something which is hitting our head and we are not finding a way, we just let it go and see if we can find a way. Because the teacher said if we are not relaxing, we cannot find a good way. But if we get to let the negativities to go and we relax, you will find a good way. But if you stress, keep crying, stressing, you will not find a real way on how we will get the next meal. So, mommy, just let us sleep and let us laugh, because the teacher said love is the greatest thing in life. So if we get to share love, let's make some stories and we'll forget all about hungry and we'll sleep very nicely, smiling. Then tomorrow, maybe we can find a way how to eat. Then my mom was amazed and said, oh my goodness, who told you that? Who told you that you have to be letting negativities to go? So it was something I said, oh my goodness, you know, I told the child, actually you did something which is real good and real truth. Because when you got something which is hitting your head and you see it is black, it's just keeping you stressful, it's keep giving you negative, bad energy, just let it go and welcome positivities. And one thing I got to learn how I can get positive things is just letting negatives to go. You know, it's very easier. You can't remain without feelings. If you know you are not in negative feelings, you are actually in positive feelings. So if you remove negativities, you are in positivities. So it's very easy to remove and to put. So it was very easy. So I said, you got to leave negativities and you get positivities. So after that, the mom came to me also and said, actually, I don't know where my child got all understanding, but I really wanted to come to you directly and ask, what are you actually always teaching our children? Because I was amazed and I really wanted also to be participating and listen actually what you're doing. And I said, of course, you can be participating. And that time around, after that testimony, and I taught the lady of the young girl. And after the lady also understanding that happiness was free, he got just to understand one thing, happiness is free. And he got to know the right use of thoughts and the wrong use of thoughts. When she got to understand that, she started going, you know, women can really actually talk good to other women. So when they were sitting around, he got to present those little experiences he was been learning with me. Then a lot of women was interested in my class and said, oh my goodness, I want really to be also in that training. I said, all of you, you are welcome. You're really welcome, and I just want you to be positive and you come to listen. So I got to let Harry about what I'll be going and said, Harry, we got a lot of testimonies and a lot of good news. I presented all the story to Harry and Harry said, wow, that's really amazing. So after that, we got to saw that the community was really interested and that was something helpful to them. And also it helped me growing, you know, as I was keeping sharing, as I was growing too, it's through the testimonies.
Yeah,
I got
you
to read.
You keep living it again and again and again, right? Like you understand it, but you're teaching it and you keep living it over.
Yeah, sure. You know, I got a lot of thanks there. I got to share that with my family to my mom, which got, you know, my mom also was very helpless. She couldn't figure out a way on how she could get the surgery so that she could be fine. So she was just there. And I got also to share the experience with her. And I could see the real smile of my mom back. So it was something really amazing. Something then we got to start facing that a lot of people wanted to learn the three principles. And that time around, we had no place where we could be sharing that. We just got some sheets, and some of the time the bad weather could be coming and the strong wind to come, and he just took our sheets away. Then we got to see that we really needed to build a place where we could be sharing the three principles. And we built a center. We built a center. Actually, it was through the positivity of the community, because I got a lot of youth which joined me making bricks, you know, and making bricks was one of my jobs that I have been doing when I evil. So we got to make to lay some blocks, and after laying some blocks, we started building a lot of, I got some volunteers which helped me building. I got some help from Harry. I got some help from different people who joined us and contributed some donations. And we built a place where we said, we are going to be help. We are going to be sharing the three principles here and doing our different humanity projects. We can now give, we got some rooms, we can be doing education services. We can be helping, we can be empowering women. We can be sharing the three principles. And thanks to the community and thanks to everyone who really joined us, we was able to build four rooms. And it was the center which we got, and we used it very properly. We got different rooms which we use for children education. We got three principles, the doings there. And after that, it's when I started now reaching to more people who could help us sharing the three principles and spreading it all over Naki Valley now. I got a bicycle from Harry, which is facilitating energies. I got to wear, I got an orphanage which I'm sharing the three principles, an orphanage of more than 300 children here in Naki Valley. I'm sharing the three principles to the orphanages. I'm sharing the three principles to schools, where they are always providing children with education. I'm going to the schools, and we put the three principles in the curriculum of children's studies, because when I presented it to the head teachers and headmasters of the school, they was, oh, actually the children are learning, but they really need also happiness. They got to be having some break time and playing together, sharing some good feelings together. So I got a lot of schools joining me. And right now I'm sharing also with a Protestant church, a church where I got, one day when I was in my training at the center, a pastor visited my class and he got to listen the three principles. And he was, oh my goodness, you know, I've been preaching, I've been telling people about God's words, but I never realized that happiness was inside me, because actually the Bible teaches, wants us to be happy, but the Bible doesn't reveal how can we be happy. Actually, the Bible wants us to forgive others. Actually, the Bible wants us to have to and to love each other, to get some love for us, but the Bible don't reveal how we can really get some love, sharing love, how we can forgive ourselves, how we can forgive others, how we can be happy. So the pastor was amazed, you know, he said, oh my goodness, I can really welcome you, Leons, to my church. Maybe you can be getting some few time with us after our church. You can be sharing this also. And I got to have the church also, I'm sharing the three principles with them. And I pre really presented to them a lot of things. We have got to cover some of the topics in the three principles, where we got to understand the three principles, which was mind, consciousness, and thought. We got to define all that. We got to learn how to forgive, how to share love. We got to know what is love. We got to know how we can the right use of thought and the wrong use of thought. And actually, that was our first training we held, because we got to explain the right use of thoughts and the wrong use of thoughts. Actually, and since I started doing that, it's now 2 years, because 1 year I first got some trainings from Harry, and this is my second year now I'm sharing these three principles. And I can't really stop saying this. I got a lot of testimonies. I got a lot. I can say I'm in the way. Actually, not in the way. I'm already in my dreams. I'm already accomplishing my visions. I'm catching people smiling. Actually, when I'm in the training, I'm seeing people coming together. I pass all over the community calling me teacher, teacher. Very exciting, you know. So actually, I can say thanks to the three principles. Thanks to Madame Leanne. Also, I got to meet Leanne on Facebook, and I got to present her also this. She was, oh my goodness, this really amazing. And she got some trainings for us too. I got to meet you. You know, it's something incredible. And actually, when we end the training and we see another person coming in, when the people see, oh, Harry coming in, Madame Leanne coming in, it's, oh, even white people caring for us, so they feel. Yeah. They feel to not be themselves. They actually feel, oh, this really amazing. No, we are not alone. Even the world is seeing us. We are not abandoned, you know. So when we got some people joining our trainings, different people from different countries helping with us, the community also is amazed. Oh, we are really cared. We got some friends. We got a lot of people who are caring about this. So they feel really amazing and strong to keep on learning and understanding and keeping be happy. So we got a lot of testimonies on this, and it has been a pleasure, really, me getting to know the three principles and sharing it to my community. So
Well,
I can say thanks.
this is honestly, Leoncio, you have a beautiful story. I'm very inspired. I'm very touched and moved by everything that you've said. I'm so happy for you. I'm happy that you get to see this and you get to bring this to people. I'm so happy. And I want to ask you, so from here, I'm in Canada, right? So what I can do for you right now, I know that Lynn, she created an ebook. So guys, Lynn was in a prior episode. If you have missed it, you gotta go see it. We'll try to put a link about that here too. Lynn Capsulor created an ebook. For it's an ebook of 100 inspirational quotes. She's selling at $12.22, and all the proceeds are going to go to Uganda refugees. She's giving the all of the all the purchases are going to go to them. So I'm going to put the link also so that you guys, if you're inspired with what Leonce just said and you want to contribute, you can do that. Is there any other way that we can contribute to you, Leonce? Is there any other way?
Actually, when we built our center, one of the things we are trying to face is the challenge right now. We got some heavy rain, which after raining hardly, the water interfered and entered our compound and destroyed our building, which we builded. So our walls fall down. So after the water falling down, we got to really to need also to raise it and build, which we got to present this to one of our friends. He got to raise for us. Yeah, he got to raise for us a GoFundMe account, and it's still ongoing. Yeah, it's still ongoing. Actually, we are not receiving any donation on it. It's have been a while since we raised it, and we raised it for the For the aim of saying that we wanted some money to build to support education and women empowerment. So we raised it, and actually it's still ongoing. I will get to send you the link of it. So that's the only way also people can contribute into our
Fantastic. I want, you know what I want to do is I want to invite you again in the future. Like, I want to see where you're at so that we can give an update to people. Is that, would you like that?
It should be a pleasure. Of course, it should be a pleasure. I'm so inspired with these two. Yeah.
Well, listen, I really, like I said, I'm happy for you. I'm inspired. I hope that everybody that's listening, you got to really feel it. Like, Leonce, we could really feel the energy. Like, we could really feel it, and it's beautiful. And I love that you accepted to come and talk with me. I'm so happy that you came.
Yeah, I'm so happy to, you know, it's always a privilege me sharing this with out people so they to understand actually what you're doing. So it's something amazing. It's a pleasure.
Fantastic. Well, I hate to finish this already because I'm already busted. We've already went over the time. We're going to have a special episode of almost an hour this time, but it's so worth it. And I want to thank you very much. And I'm sending you so much love. Thank you for accepting. All right.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thank you too. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
So to everybody, I'm going to say, I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was a treat. And I'm going to say, dream it, dare it, do it, live the life you want, and have a good day. Take care.
Thank you, Tom.